Well, let's come to this passage, to Isaiah 40. It is one of my favourite passages in the Bible. Isaiah, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, ransacks creation as he seeks to describe and portray the greatness of God. And the dimensions of the universe are pulled into the poetry to give a comparison to God. And yet, God dwarfs the greatest dimensions of our universe, and we, living all these centuries after Isaiah, know more of the vastness of those dimensions. We can put a scale on them in some ways, as we've done this morning with the young people. But even with our greater understanding, all of that says to us is God is greater again than the measurements that we've put on these distances. And the chapter ends with classic promises that God gives to weary people and worried people. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. You will run and not grow weary, and you will walk and not be faint. And here we have unimaginable power, we have unconceived of wisdom, and we have unchallengeable might. And these touch down in the lives of tired, weary, or worried Christians. If this chapter was a piece of music, a piece of classical music, for the most part, it would be loud and triumphant. There would be a crash of cymbals, there would be a blare of the trumpets and the wind instruments. But then, in not quite the middle of it, but a little towards the beginning, there would be a moment of pause and quiet, where a little piccolo or a flute or a violin would come in with a gentle but delightful melody. It's that delightful melody we want to look at this morning. It's found in verse 11. In verse 9 we're told, "Behold your God," or "Here is your God." In verse 10 we are told that the Sovereign Lord comes, that He has come to judge the nations. And He is going to bring judgment and justice on them, His recompense, His reward, or His punishments are coming with Him. Then in verse 12, we're told, "Who could measure the waters of the earth in the hollow of His hand? Who could map out the heavens with the breadth of His hand?" But in between, we're told, He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young. The same one that rules with the strong hand of a prince leads and feeds with the kind hand of a shepherd. It was Matthew Henry's summary of these verses. And God wants us to get the contrast. He wants us to see that, well, in this particular chapter, His people need to be convinced of His great power. But He wants them to know that His power comes with tenderness. And this morning, we want to look at it, in a sense, the other way around, to focus in on His tenderness. But we don't want to lose sight of the bigger picture of the chapter of His great power. Because that's what gives us hope. That's what gives us hope in the face of death. That's what gives us hope in the face of illness. That's what gives us hope in the face of a tiny child awaiting surgery. That's what gives us hope as we look to the rest of Stephen's life and think, well, there's so many unanswered questions that we don't know. But what gives us hope is that there is a God who's strong enough and a God who cares enough. That's what we need to know. And that's what we see this morning. Three things that we want to note as we look at the tender shepherd. The tender shepherd is the, I suppose, if you wanted, the heading for the sermon. And then the first thing we note is the identity of the shepherd. The identity of the shepherd. In these verses, we're told He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms. He carries them close to His heart. He gently leads. He. Who is this He? Well, we're told that He's the Sovereign Lord. We're told in verse 9 that He's your God. And there's two things I want us to see about the identity of the shepherd. He's the all-powerful, all-knowing God. He's the all-powerful, all-knowing God. That's what the chapter sets before us. The God who's all-powerful. Your shepherd. If you're a Christian this morning, your shepherd does not have spindly arms. He is not a 6-stone weakling, unable to help. Your shepherd is powerful. Look at verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Look at verse 17. Before him all the nations are as nothing. The nations of the earth. Russia, America, the great nations, Germany with all its financial power and clout, Islam, it's not a nation but it's a religious people group, and it seems so vast and so forceful, as nothing to God. He's so powerful. Verse 22 into 24, you see his sovereign authority. The people are just like grasshoppers. He raises up princes. He puts them down. Leaders, politicians, prime ministers, presidents. He lifts them up. He puts them down. So great is his power. Verse 26. Young people, here's the verse that we were thinking of. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. The sun could contain, and here's the figure, over 1 million earths could fit into it. The ball of the earth could fit into the ball of the sun over 1 million times. The temperature at the core of the sun, we've had a lovely week. Temperature reached the 20s. Maybe. I didn't pay any great heed to it. I was just out in it, enjoying it. The core temperature of the sun, 15 million degrees. And God just calls it into being. Creates it with ease. The Milky Way has 100 billion such stars. It would take you 3,000 years to count them if you counted them one by one. And yet, the Milky Way is one of hundreds of billions of such galaxies. And this God calls the stars out, knows them each, made them individually. There's a measure of his power. But there's also in this chapter the fact that your shepherd is not just powerful, but your shepherd is wise. Verse 13 and 14. Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Where did God serve his apprenticeship? Who did he ask? How do you make suns? How do you make stars? How do you combine all the elements to create this ever-burning mass of fire that will heat a little planet? Who did he serve his time with? Nobody. He didn't ask any advice. He didn't consult. He knew. This God is all-knowing. This God is all-wise. Verse 28. His understanding no one can fathom. This God gets the best results in the best way. And the upshot of all of this is that what seems massive and perplexing to us, what seems too hard or too heavy for you to bear, when something is so bleak that you can't see a way through it and you say, my life has no hope, will it be too big, too hard, too heavy, too uncertain, too unknown, too dark for this God, for this shepherd? He's the all-powerful, all-knowing God, this shepherd. The second thing to note about the identity of the shepherd is that he is your self-giving Saviour. He is your self-giving Saviour. In John 10, Jesus, as it were, preaches on this verse. Let me read to you some of the things he says. He says, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes on in front of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the shepherd who brings hope to his people that Isaiah spoke of. I'm here. Look what he does. Look carefully at these verses and see. See how he carries the lambs in his arms. See how he gathers them and carries them close to his heart. The Hebrew phrase is in his bosom, right in here. He carries them. And then he leads those that have young. And that's you. If you're one of Christ's people, this is your shepherd. And there are times that you will be carried by the shepherd. There will be times when you will be led by the shepherd. And you will wonder, does he care for me? Does he know what's best for me? You know that he's powerful and all of that. And you know that he's wise and all of that. But does he care for me? But when you look at this shepherd, and you look at his arms that hold you, you see the scars on his wrists where they were pierced by the nails. When you look at his side, when he's carrying the lambs close to his heart, in his bosom, you see the long scar in his side where the spear went up through and pierced his heart. And as you're going along following him on the path that he's taking, you look at his feet. And there you see the nail-marked feet going before you. This shepherd cares for his people. And there, here's the measure of the tenderness of the shepherd's care. Don't measure how much you think your shepherd cares for you by the circumstance he takes you through. You measure it by what he did at the cross. And you see that he cares. Here's the identity of the shepherd. He's powerful, but oh, he gives himself. He lays down his life for the sheep. Do you know him? May I ask you this morning, do you know him personally? Not an abstract idea, do you know about Jesus? Or do you know about God? But do you know him as your shepherd? Do you know him as the one who has laid down his life for you? Have you gone to him and said, I'm like a lost sheep and I need somebody to rescue me? Because if you don't do that, oh, you'll meet him and you'll know about him, but you'll meet the one who comes in verse 10, the sovereign Lord who comes to judge. But you don't want to meet him like that. You want to meet him as the shepherd who came to be judged, the one who would lay down his life for you. So this morning, you see, these verses are particularly spoken to his flock. And I want all of you here to know the tender care of the shepherd. I want you to know that there is one who would lay down his life for you so that you could have eternal life. So that he can say to you, I give you, put your name in there, I give you eternal life and you will never perish. I want you to know that. So if you're not part of his flock this morning, you need to go to him and ask him, will you be my Savior? Will you lay down your life for me? And will you bring me into your care and your keeping? The identity of the shepherd. The second thing to note is the tenderness of his care. The tenderness of his care. A 6-stone weakling can't carry you in his arms for very long. Have we a shepherd strong enough for all circumstances? Yes, we do. But is he tender enough for all his people? You know, driving through the countryside with Robert is an education, particularly for a city boy like me. He's pointing out what's going on in the fields. He's pointing out the sheep that are in those fields, and he's telling me what breed they are. And I, how do you know that? You must have great eyesight. He said, well, Mark, it's really obvious. They've got black faces. Right, well, even I can see that. I just don't know anything about sheep. But he cares for his sheep. He's a shepherd. He knows and notices what's going on in other fields with other animals. and he knows the state of his own. Well, the shepherd here cares for his sheep. There are four words used to describe. They come really in three phrases. He tends, this is the first one. He tends his flock like a shepherd. This shepherd knows his flock. He knows what they need. He knows what's wrong with them. That's what a good shepherd does. In the Middle East, a shepherd has to do something that shepherds here really don't have to worry about as much. He's got to find grass for them. He's got to find grass in a dry, arid place. He's got to find enough grass to keep them fed. He's also got to find them clean water and quiet water, not water that's racing and bubbling and tumultuous, but calm water, but water that's not so calm that it's stagnant. He's got to look out for the lame and the sick. He's got to tend the flock. He's got to watch those that have gone over on their side when they've lain down and they've rolled over on their backs and they're unable to get up, and then their stomach starts to bloat and they're even less able to get up and they're going to die. He's got to keep an eye out for all the sheep. He's got to watch out for those that are limping along as they walk. He's got to look out for the one that goes missing. And you know, I just don't get it. I would make a useless shepherd. I watched something in the news a few months ago where there were sheep stuck on rocks and the tide was coming in. And there were shepherds out there with surfboards and with life rafts trying to get the sheep. And I'm thinking, just leave them. Just leave them, you know. And then there's another one where there was a sheep on a cliff. And the guys were there, roped up, harnessed up, climbing down the cliff to get it. They got the sheep and they were going back up and they got it to the top. And what did it do? It ran off from them and slipped down the cliff again. I'm thinking, just leave it to die. Who cares? It's one sheep. You can't risk your life for a sheep. But there they went down the cliff again to get it. Shepherds get something. And they illustrate something for us. That they're great pictures of Christ. I just find it amazing that they would risk their life for a sheep. That's bizarre. But Christ came and gave his life for us. For tiny little human beings who would shake their little fists at him and say, take yourself off. I live my life my way. The maker of heaven and earth came to rescue sheep like us. But more than that, he tends his flock like a shepherd. You know, there may be times you feel that you don't know what's going on. You don't understand what's happening. You think, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know where the next resources are going to come from to get me through tomorrow or the next week. Where would a sheep be if it thought like that? Not a sheep's job. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He will give you the strength. He will give you the food. He will give you the life. He will give you the protection you need. And all that you need, he will provide until he has brought you safely home. He tends his flock like a shepherd. The second set of words is, he gathers and carries. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. There's the little lambs. You see them? Well, he sees them. He notices them. He's watching for them. He knows how many there are. He's spent long sleepless nights with the ewes as they're lambing. Wife and children often set aside and forgotten about or roped into the whole business of lambing. Filling bottles, feeding lambs, keeping them under a lamp to keep them warm. The good shepherd gathers and carries the lambs. And this shepherd gathers his lambs, the baby Christian. He's vulnerable. He protects them. He encourages them. He feeds them. The Christian who's been on their own all week, he gathers that little lamb into his family on the Lord's Day and he feeds them and strengthens them so they're ready for another week when perhaps they won't meet many other Christians. He meets with them during the week and encourages them. He shields his little lambs from the cold, biting winds. the weary Christian. He sees whenever life's too hard. And he carries you in his arms. He's that sort of a shepherd. He carries because sometimes they have to trek for miles to find grass and water. And the shepherd's eye is on those who are perhaps lagging behind. Those whose little legs can't keep up. Those who perhaps have stumbled and damaged a ligament or a muscle or a tendon in their leg. And they're not able to keep going as quick. They're hobbling along and the shepherd lifts them and carries them. He stops and picks them up. And he puts them close to his heart. He doesn't just, you know, grab a couple of front legs in this hand and a couple of front legs in the other hand and walk along swinging a couple of lambs. He carries them close to his heart or puts them across his shoulders. It's a beautiful picture here. It's a picture that easily crosses the boundaries into that of a parent with a child. Father with his little one. Little one's exhausted. She can't take any more steps on the walk that you're on. And you lift her and you carry her in here. That's what this shepherd does. He sees the little sheep that are forever getting into trouble and running off and going off down paths they shouldn't go on. Does he say, enough of that. We'll just leave them. Let them go. I'm at the end of my tether with them. Just be done with them. They're always causing trouble. He gathers the lambs. He doesn't keep letting them go and he doesn't get fed up with them. He keeps going after them and bringing them back. He gathers the lambs. He carries them. Are you tired and weary? He'll carry you. He doesn't force the pace and tramp on so that you become exhausted and fall by the wayside. He's not that sort of shepherd. Young Christians. Christians who feel tired and weary and vulnerable. Christians who are struggling. You have no need to fear. Christians who are worried about the future. You have no need to worry. Here you have a shepherd who gathers and carries his people. And he leads. The third description, he leads. He leads. Psalm 23, he leads me beside quiet waters. John 10, Jesus says, they follow me. They know my voice. The Middle Eastern shepherd doesn't drive the sheep from behind, you know, going, hooshing them down the roadway like this. With noise and with shouts, he gets up front. And the sheep know his voice and he calls to them. And they follow along behind. He knows where they need to go. He knows how to get there. He knows the paths, the valleys. He knows where the cliffs are. He knows the dark and dangerous places that he needs to lead them through. They're not routes that the sheep would choose. Sheep wouldn't go near those roots, but the shepherd knows those pathways that will lead to the grassy upper lands and the quiet streams where they will be safe, where they will be able to be fed. He knows the best paths for you. How does he know? Well, he scouted them out. He knows the lie of the land. And we have a shepherd who scouted out all our pathways. He knows, the Bible tells us, the end from the beginning. What that's saying is, before he starts you down a pathway, he can see where it finishes. He knows that that's the best path to take you on. They may not be paths that we would have picked. The sheep don't get to choose the paths they go on, because they're not very good at knowing what paths to go on. We're sheep. But we have a shepherd who has scouted out all the paths. And he knows the paths that lead to green pasture and fresh waters and times of blessing. And he takes his people on those paths. And they may be dark paths, they may be dangerous paths. But they're the best paths. Because the shepherd knows what's best. He leads, we're told here. And the sheep have to trust the shepherd. Where would the flock be if each sheep decided it knew best? we pray for the wolves. And the other fact about he leads is that he leads. He is with us. The terrain might be difficult, the paths might be dark, we mightn't know exactly where we're going or how we're going to get there, but he is with his people. He is with his people. The tenderness of his care. And then thirdly, the focus of his care. The focus of his care. Who does he care for? Well, we've already mentioned that it's not the entire world with its 7 billion people who are the particular focus of his care. It's not even those who would sit in church and even claim to be Christians. It's those who are his flock, those who are his people, those who have asked the shepherd or have been redeemed by the shepherd, who would lay down his life for them. He knows who are his. But this verse 11, points us to two particular aspects of his care. Two particular categories where his care is focused. I want to look at those two categories just as we finish. First of all, the young and the weak. The young and the weak. He gathers the lambs. He gathers the lambs. Not just the strong, mature sheep that this shepherd is interested in, but the weak, the newborn, the struggling, those who are finding life difficult to follow the shepherd. He doesn't say, enough of you. I'm going on with the super saints. There are no expendable sheep. Because for this shepherd, his sheep have been redeemed by his blood. And that makes you precious. And he's not going to lose even one that he has paid for with his life. Are you a baby Christian? Are you a timid Christian? Are you a young person who's a Christian, who's hearing all the voices from the world around you, and you're thinking, they all are calling me to go and do this and to do that and to do the other, and to do things that I'm not happy with, and I know God isn't happy with, but if I don't do them, they'll think me odd. Well, you have a shepherd here who is particularly noticing your struggles and who will particularly help you as you seek to follow him. Here is a Saviour who cares much for his sheep, for those who are young and those who are weary and those who are weak, for the lambs. Christ does not march on only with the super saints. There are many days when we feel weak and vulnerable, when we feel at the end of our tether, and Jesus says, I see you and I will care for you. And another aspect of these lambs, it's not just young Christians, it's not just those who are young in their faith, but it's also our young, our children. I don't think it's stretching it to include our children here in this description, particularly because the verse finishes saying, he carries them close to his heart and he gently leads those that have young. Who are the young that are spoken of here? He gently leads those that have young. Here's a God who cares about his people and his people's children. That's the God we see throughout the Bible, a God who cares for his people and his people's children too. That's why we come to the sacrament of baptism today. Because there is a God in the Bible who makes promises to his people and to his people's children. It's not because the children of believers are Christians. It's because the children of believers are the children of believers. Because of the children of God's children, and God cares passionately and deeply for his children. And he knows that his children care about their children. and that their great heart's desires to see their children come to know Jesus. And God, their Father, says, I am not indifferent to your great concern and your great worry and your great burdens. And here in this verse, we see what we see throughout Scripture. We see that God is a God who delights in the children of His people. I will be a God to you and to your children after you. We see it in the life of Jesus. The rabbis invited no children to hear them. And yet Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And then when he was out teaching, his teaching must have been so clear that not just adults came to hear him, but we read that at the like of the feeding of the 5,000, there were 5,000 men besides women and children. Children were there to hear because he taught so simply. The children shouted and praised him as he entered Jerusalem, shouting, Hosanna. What an encouragement this is to parents. Our Saviour cares about our young. We want them to follow Jesus. We want them to come to trust the Good Shepherd. And here the Good Shepherd says, I see your young. He lifts, he carries, he gathers, he feeds, he protects. Not just the young Christian is the special object of Christ's tender care. Not just the weak and the wearied Christian, but also the children of Christ's people are part of His special care. So let me say to you this morning, if you're not yet one of Christ's people, come to this great shepherd and ask Him to be your shepherd and your Savior. And He will lay down His life for you. And then will you give yourself to following this good shepherd who knows the best ways for you to go. If you're here this morning and you're a young Christian and you've been going off down paths that haven't been helpful, or you're just tired fighting, know that you have a shepherd who won't give up on you. If you're here this morning and you're a parent with children, know that this shepherd cares not just for you, but for your young as well. And as you seek to live in such a way that your children hear and learn about Jesus, there is a shepherd who will lift them and take them and carry them in his arms and take the news, the information, the example that you're living and you're setting before your children, and he will press it into their lives because he cares for them too. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, we come this morning to you thankful that there is a powerful God who is a tender shepherd. And Father, we pray that you would be with your people this morning, so that they know your tenderness and your shepherding. Father, we pray that you would comfort those who are weary and burdened with the knowledge that you are wise and powerful, that your ways are the best ways, and that you will give them strength as they go through the difficulties of life. Father, we pray for those who are as yet outside of your flock, that they would hear the shepherd's voice this morning, and that they would come and seek the good shepherd and hear his voice and follow him. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. That'll be okay. Well, we come to the sacrament of baptism. The sacrament of baptism is not to be administered freely or lightly to all and sundry. It is given to those who profess their faith in Jesus Christ. It is God marking out his people and saying, you belong to me. And it is a picture too of the washing that salvation brings. But God in his kindness extends it not just to those who have put their faith in Christ, but to those who put their faith in Christ and their children. God, as we've seen this morning, takes special care and special interest in the children of his children. Baptism does not make and will not make Stephen a Christian. We trust and pray that the time will come in Stephen's life when he will put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But it is an acknowledgement of two things. One, the privileges of being born into a family with Christian parents. And it is an acknowledgement too by the parents of the responsibilities that they have as parents to train up their child, their children, to know this God that they know as their Saviour and Lord. Before we can proceed with baptism, I want to ask Robert and Judith to restate their faith in Christ. We do this by asking them to restate the vows that they have taken as members of the fellowship. Robert and Judith, do you both accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments as the Word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only Redeemer of men, supreme in church and state, and in dependence on divine grace, take him as your Saviour and Lord?
I do.
Do you promise by divine grace to show a teachable and submissive spirit to the teaching of Scripture as set forth in the testimony of this church?
I do.
Do you promise that by the help of the Holy Spirit you will endeavour to live a life consistent with your profession?
I do.
Having declared your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you now to take on your vows in baptism. The first is an acknowledgement of the privilege that is Stephen's, and the second is an acknowledgement of the responsibilities that you have before God as his parents. First of all, do you acknowledge your child as a covenant child, and according to the gracious design of Christian baptism, do you dedicate your child to God and present him for recognition as a member of the church?
We do.
Do you promise to perform the following parental duties? Here now are the responsibilities. We've acknowledged the privilege, now the responsibilities. To pray that your child may be renewed and brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as signified in this sacrament. To seek that your child may come to know the Scriptures and to know the duty of committing himself to God. To rule well your household, exercising parental authority with firmness and love, setting the example of a holy and consistent life, and attending with regularity to personal, family, and public worship. To seek that your child may, while young, come to understand the history, doctrine, and practice of the Church, and may be helped to experience the blessings of loving obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ.
We do.
There, at this point, I want to ask the congregation to stand. And there is a particular question put to the members of the fellowship here. And I'd ask those who are members in the fellowship to answer with "I do" as you take on this vow yourselves. Do you promise to pray for this covenant child and to seek by example and precept to encourage him to walk in the ways of the Lord? Thank you. Well, let's come to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you and we give you thanks for the life of Stephen. Father, we thank you for his safe arrival, and we thank you for your goodness to Robert and to Judith, to Emily and to Eleanor. We thank you for your goodness in his gaining weight. We thank you for your goodness to him in keeping him free from infection. We thank you for your goodness to him in his being born at a time and place where surgery is possible for him. But more than that, we thank you for your goodness in giving him Christian parents. We thank you for your goodness in giving him parents who will teach him about the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness in giving him a family on both sides who will display to him the richness of knowing God. Father, we thank you too for your covenant faithfulness down through generations. You have made promises to parents and to grandparents, to great-grandparents in these family lines about their children. And you have been kind and good, but more than that, you have been faithful to your word. And we thank you, Lord God, for keeping your word. And so it is with confidence this morning that we come and we ask you to pour out your blessing on young Stephen. Father, we ask that early in life he would come to know you as his Saviour and Lord. We pray that you would not just guard him and keep him physically in good health, but that you would bring him to spiritual health. Father, we thank you for your gracious promises. We thank you for the shepherd's tender care. Stephen, Robert, David, Tate, child of the covenant, I baptize you into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Father in heaven, we pray your richest blessing on Stephen. We pray that you would pour out your grace on him, and that like Stephen in Scripture, he would see clearly the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the glory of Christ would radiate out from his face. Father, we thank you that you are a wise and good shepherd, and we pray that Robert and Judith and Emily and Eleanor and Stephen would know your shepherding and your keeping in these next few weeks especially. We pray that in leading up to surgery you would guide the surgeon's hands and that you would cause everything to turn out for good. And Father, we pray that you would pour out your rich goodness in their lives. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let me finish just with one last point. I said there were two main categories that have a special care of the shepherd. The first category were those who are young and weak, whether it's young in Christ or those who are young in life. Both have this particular care of Christ the shepherd. But there is a second category here that are picked out. In the last line we read, he gently leads those who have young. And there is in these words a particular assurance for parents. The shepherd is very careful with those who have young. It's a description of the shepherd's care of the ewes that are pregnant, that are expecting, and those who have just given birth. But it reminds us, it speaks to us of the Good Shepherd and his care, not just of the little ones, but the ones who have little ones. He gently leads those who have young. Robert and Judith, much that is unknown lies ahead. This is your little flock, Emily and Eleanor and Stephen. But you have a shepherd who gently leads those who have young. What lies ahead is not unknown to him. He knows the paths he takes you on, and be assured that your tender shepherd will gently lead you along the paths that he has planned for you. He has scouted out the green pastures and the quiet waters. And He will lead you there. And He will gently lead you. Because you have young. You are His sheep too. And you are concerned for your young. But He gently leads those who have young. And not just Robert and Judith, but to all parents here this morning, is an assurance that you're not in this on your own. Whatever stage our children are at, we're actually only ever as happy as our saddest child. You could have 17 children, 16 of them could be millionaires and delighted, but you'll not be happy because the 17th is struggling in some way. No matter how many children we have, we're only as happy as the saddest one, or the one that has the troubles and the problems and the issues. But we have a shepherd who cares for us and who tenderly guides us and who provides for us and gives us the strength, the energy, the resources that we need. And He will continue to do so until He has brought you and them safely home. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your grace and mercy to parents. We have this incredible responsibility. We have brought little sparks of eternity into this world. They will live forever in either heaven or hell. But, O Lord God, thank You that You do not leave Your people to do this on their own. Thank You that You gently lead those who have young. And Father, we pray for all parents here this morning that You would so lead them so that their children will see in their parents' faces their trust in the Good Shepherd. Father, we pray for Robert and Judith in particular this morning that they would be especially aware of Your gentle leading of them. That these are good paths that You have set out for them. Paths for their good. And paths for Stephen and Emily and Eleanor's good. And paths too for the glory of the gospel. Father, we pray that You would give them even more of that sense of the shepherd's care. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.